very good Monday and welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
A portion of Los Angeles County has been placed under quarantine for the Tao fruit fly following the detection of more than 20 flies in the unincorporated area of Stevenson Ranch near the city of Santa Clarita. The quarantine area measures 79 square miles. A link to the quarantine map can be found on the California Department of Food and Agriculture website. This is the first Tao fruit fly quarantine ever in the Western Hemisphere. The fly is native to Asia and is a serious pest for agriculture and natural resources with a very wide host range, including numerous fruits and vegetables, as well as select range of native plants in California. It is believed the fly was introduced by travelers bringing uninspected produce into the state, which is a common pathway for invasive species. To prevent the spread of this invasive species, residents living in a quarantine area are urged not to move any fruits and vegetables from their property. They may be consumed or processed at the property where they were picked. Otherwise, they should be disposed of by double bagging in plastic and placing the bags in a bin specifically for garbage. Following the principles of integrated pest management, the California Department of Food and Agriculture, working in cooperation with the United States Department of Agriculture and the Los Angeles County Agricultural Commissioner, will utilize a multi-tiered approach to eliminate the Tao fruit fly and prevent its spread to new areas. On properties within 200 meters of detections, staff will cut host fruit and vegetables to inspect for any fruit larvae that may be present. Additionally, properties within 200 meters of detections will be treated with a naturally derived organic approved material known as spinosad, which will help remove any live adult fruit flies and reduce the density of the population. Finally, fly traps that incorporate a pheromone lure and a minute amount of pesticide will be used in a wider part of the treatment area. California farmers say this season's melon crop was delayed by about 2 weeks due to cool temperatures and wet fields affecting early harvest of watermelons, cantaloupes, and honeydews. That slowed melon deliveries to supermarkets. They missed the big marketing window for 4th of July, according to Fresno County farmer Joe Del Bosque. But Del Bosque says quality of melons is good this year and that demand remains steady. He said he just hopes there's not a bunching up of melons hitting the market at once. For the first time in a century, California cotton acreage will drop to fewer than 100,000 acres due in part to soggy ground at planting and better prices for competing crops. Aaron Barcelos, a partner in the family-owned A-Bar Ag Enterprises in Fresno County, said cold, wet weather along with low prices has prompted them to reduce Pima plantings this year. Without those factors, he said they probably would have had double the acreage they planted. In the late 1970s and early 1980s, cotton was king in the San Joaquin Valley, maxing out at about 1.6 million planted acres. A nationwide farm labor shortage is contributing to a flurry of legislative action in Washington this year. The House Committee on Agriculture has formed a bipartisan agricultural labor working group to study and propose changes to the H-2A temporary visa worker program, which farmers have increasingly called upon in the absence of adequate domestic labor. Last year, Congress failed to pass the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, including immigration law reforms intended to boost agricultural employment. The act was reintroduced this year. After a person was found deceased at a cold storage unit at a farm in Cortland, it was ruled that they passed away due to ammonia poisoning. The Sacramento Fire Department says their hazmat team responded, and officials have not said how the ammonia was released into the air. Once again, Driscoll's has secured a spot among the top 10 retail grocery brands as based on data from Circana, a prominent authority on consumer behavior and supermarket retail sales tracking. The mid-year 2023 rankings confirm Driscoll's unrivaled position across traditional grocery retailers and demonstrates the company's consistent leadership in the food industry. Driscoll's has added a tenth of a share, a point in the last 4 years, and has appeared on the list compared to several higher-ranked center store brands, which have lost share points. In an era where retail sources account for more than 85% of the annual $600 billion eating occasions, food companies must stay attuned to evolving retail trends to maintain our competitive edge. Today's discerning shoppers are channel shifting from discounters to big box supercenters, club stores, convenience stores, and online platforms. The prominence of fresh food perimeter departments continues to grow, with fresh representing 45% of retail food and beverage sales. In 2022, Driscoll's also ranked as one of the top 25 food brands in terms of dollar sales across the United States. Recently, the University of California Davis Department of Viticulture and Enology presented a harvest readiness webinar with current information and considerations to prepare winemakers and production staff for the 2023 wine grape harvest and crush. UCD winemaker and winery manager Dr. Leticia Chacon Rodriguez provided a list of key grape components and measurements for making harvest and winemaking decisions and suggestions for preparing the winery and production team for crush. Challenges to evaluating berry composition are that the metrics will differ based on grape variety, the vineyard site, and within the vineyard. Challenges and considerations in measuring berry compounds in vineyard sampling include the vineyard size and variability, the sample size, whether samples used are berries versus clusters, and the sample preparation and handling before testing. Chacon Rodriguez advised visiting the vineyard during the season to get familiar with vineyard variability and choosing sampling locations for berry measurements. He said, be in touch with the grower regarding vineyard practices, particularly involving irrigation later in the season that can affect berry chemistry. Key berry composition factors to consider and metrics to evaluate include sugar and carbohydrates, acidity, berry weight as an indicator of yield, anthocyanins and total phenols, taste, and nitrogen compounds. Other berry components to consider are pyrazines in a variety such as Cabernet, Sauvignon, and Sauvignon Blanc, as well as terpenoids that contribute to fruity aromas and lipids found in many grape seeds and other volatile ammonia compounds and their precursors found in grapes. Chacon Rodriguez suggested creating site-specific harvest plans and also considering other factors affecting sampling and harvest such as weather conditions, vineyard conditions, specific site risks, and logistics to access and return from the site. Winemaking production planning considerations include performing preventative maintenance of crush equipment and replacements as needed, determining the required number and sizes of fermentators, and order and ensure there is proper inventory of winemaking ingredients and supplies. In summary, she says, create a checklist for harvest readiness, keep your teams informed, always expect the unexpected, keep growing where you learn and discuss with team members after harvest to prepare for the next harvest, and keeping a positive attitude. Some of the nation's largest truck makers have pledged to stop selling new gas-powered vehicles in California by the middle of the next decade, in part due to an agreement with state regulators aimed at preventing lawsuits that threaten to delay or block the state's emission standards. California is trying to rid itself of fossil fuels, passing new rules in recent years to phase out gas-powered cars, trucks, trains, and lawn equipment in the nation's most populous state. It will take years for all those rules to fully take effect, but already some industries are pushing back. Last month, the railroad industry sued the California Air Resources Board to block new rules that would ban older locomotives and require companies to purchase zero-emission equipment. This announcement means lawsuits are less likely to delay similar rules for the trucking industry. The companies agreed to follow California's rules, which include banning the sale of new gas-powered trucks by the year 2036. In the meantime, California regulators agreed to loosen some of their emission standards for diesel trucks. The state agreed to use the federal emission standard starting in 2027, which is lower than what the California rules would have been. California regulators also agreed to let these companies continue to sell more older diesel engines over the next 3 years, but only if they also sell zero-emission vehicles to offset the emissions from those older trucks. The agreement clears the way for other states to adopt California's same standards without worrying about whether the rules would be upheld in court. That according to Stephen Cliff, executive officer of the California Air Resources Board. That means more trucks nationally would follow these rules. He said about 60% of the truck vehicle miles traveled in California come from trucks that arrive from other states. The agreement includes some of the largest truck makers in the world, including Cummins Incorporated, Daimler Truck North America, Ford Motor Company, and General Motors Company, among others. Cow's Milk Cheese and dairy processors that use the Real California Milk Seal brought home 29 awards from the 2023 annual cheese competition held by the American Cheese Society in Des Moines, Iowa. The American Cheese Society recognizes the finest cheeses and dairy products made in the Americas. Just over 1,400 cheese and cultured dairy products were entered into the competition. Cheeses made with 100% California cow's milk had a strong showing in a field of 195 processors representing the U.S. and Canada. California cheesemakers won a total of 45 awards, with Real California Cow's Milk Cheeses bringing home 29 prizes. That includes 8 first place, 12 second place, and 9 third place awards in this year's judging. In total, 15 Real Cow California's cheese and dairy companies won awards for products made with 100% Real California milk from the state's more than 1,100 family dairy farms. California is the second largest cheese producing state in the nation, responsible for more than 2.4 billion pounds of cheese in 2021.
Agroplante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. Agroplante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. Agroplante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. Agroplante. Imagination. Innovation. Science in action.
Challenges in the industry over the past few years, including supply chain disruptions, interest rate hikes, and inflation, have tested ag businesses' abilities to strategically plan, budget, and truly know the people they do business with. Lucas Schmidt, the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Grow West and Almond Leadership Program graduate, spoke on these concepts on Almond Board of California's Almond Journey podcast.
The way I like doing it is setting up meeting and going seeing operations and their people, because you can assess a lot seeing them in their element. Granted, you can't do that all the time if you're dealing with international partners or whatever, right? But it is so key. And I think it's something that gets missed a lot, is in the good times, you may not see the need because things are good, right? If there's challenges, do you know enough to be able to plan around, either get an additional partner or you know that they've got your back? So quite honestly, I think there's still some role for people doing business with people, Tim, and it could be just like we're doing. It could be the Zoom piece or a Teams piece or follow-up, but the deeper you can get within your supply partners and business partners is so key. Yeah, because I mean, there's so many stories what we went through the last 2 to 3 years, and a lot of assumptions were being made. And then they found out that is not going to take place, and they didn't have the information to be able to react to them. And so, yeah, can't say that enough. And for us is, you know, we even joke, it's like, well, let's go call on a customer. Let's go see what they're seeing. And, you know, we're blessed to have a lot of good people, just like, I mean, the industry is full of them, but it's amazing going out with a customer and seeing what they're facing is so key.
Schmidt explains the importance of strategic planning for future disruptions in the industry after having experienced things like high fertilizer prices and alternative shipping avenues. It's a game of learning and reacting to hardship and following up with a solution the next time around.
Like jugs, looking at the crop protection side, or if it's a tariff impact that's going to impact fertilizer in the port of Stockton, for example. You know, we saw definitely through the last couple years that we relied on more rail shipments than we have in the past. Well, that's something you can't react to overnight, right? Either you've got rail siding capabilities or not. You know, the smallest example is, you know, there was product forecasted, line time was scheduled, and they didn't have lids for the jugs, Tim. So everything was done right until they didn't diversify their, you know, caps. They were coming over from China, et cetera. Another example that we all take for granted a little bit is just, you know, cardboard boxes. There was some major supply chain tightness or shortage around cardboard that they had to adjust pretty rapidly into an inferior box. And once again, they had their active ingredient or product, whatever it was, had their container, their line time, but couldn't get boxes. So living in a just-in-time environment, which we were all blessed to participate in, it got caught. When it's go time in agriculture based on crop development, the timing, Mother Nature, you have to go to your second option or third. And so that was another key learning, is just have your plan A, but make sure you got plan B and plan C.
Schmidt also spoke about his time with the class of 2019 Almond Leadership Program and how that impacted his knowledge of the industry and ability to manage as a leader.
You think you know a little bit about almonds and all that, and then you get into a well-done program like that. And I have to give it to the California Almond Board, you know, folks like Jenny, Rebecca, Richard, the leadership there. It's just, you know, unbelievable. And like I said, just truly blessed to be a part of that and to see all the different facets, you know, that program. You know, there was an in-class sessions. There was, you know, obviously project focus, the fundraising elements. We did site visits. It was just a really huge commitment, not only on the Almond Board of California from a time financial, but also the people involved. I was highly impressed. And like I said, got to give a shout out to Jenny and Rebecca and the team, Richard. Just, it's fantastic. And so everybody's got to have a favorite class. And so obviously mine's going to be 2019. But, you know, we had folks from the financing side, the banking, Holler Schellers. We had some first class compliance, safety and compliance folks from the industry in that class. And, you know, growers, service company and manufacturing like ourselves. And yeah, it was just, I can't say enough. It was fantastic.
Check out the Almond Journey podcast to hear more from Lucas Schmidt on his strategies surrounding strategic planning in the almond industry. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humix Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
The Department of Agriculture has unveiled a geospatial product called Crop Sequence Boundaries that offers national scale visual crop rotation data for the first time. Crop Sequence Boundaries, or CSB technology, is a cutting edge map of agricultural fields that provides crop acreage estimates and historical planting decisions across the contiguous United States. The open source product uses satellite imagery and other public data to allow users to analyze planted U.S. commodities, enhancing agricultural science and research and providing producers an innovative resource to help them make farming decisions. The new tool was developed by USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service and Economic Research Service, two of the department's statistical scientific research agencies. CSB incorporates technological advances in satellite imagery and high-performance cloud computing with Google Earth Engine. It is one of several tools that NAS and its partners have developed to support agricultural analysis and make data more accessible and valuable to the public. Access CSB at nas.usda.gov. Russia has expanded its attack on Ukraine's grain exports to the Danube River, a key waterway through Romania, further squeezing global grain supplies and driving up world food prices. First, Russia's missiles struck grain stockpiles in Ukraine's Black Sea port of Odessa. Now Russia has attacked a key alternate export route from Ukraine through Romania.
Russia attacked grain warehouses on the Danube River, now a vital export route for grain since Russia has effectively blocked Black Sea ports.
More evidence, according to State Department's Matthew Miller, that Russia is using food as a weapon of war, hurting Ukraine's economy and driving up food prices for the world's hungry and starving. American Farm Bureau Federation trade advisor Dave Samuelson says markets are reacting.
If there is a potential for a shorter supply, then price will react. And we're seeing on the exchanges, there's certainly been a reaction of increasing price of futures for wheat here in the U.S. and I'm sure around the world.
But for how long before prices moderate again? Samuelson says no one knows. Ditto for whether the conflict on the Black Sea will spread. But millions of people in underdeveloped nations in Africa and the Middle East are feeling the impact as Russia chokes off grain export routes from the Ukraine. That according to Miller.
There is no perfect solution that would allow Ukraine to ship the same amount of grain as it did under the Black Sea Grain Initiative without the reopening of those sea lanes. There just simply isn't a way to get enough grain out through the Danube ports or over land or any other means.
UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres called on Russia to return to the Black Sea deal, citing the devastating impact its demise is having on the poor and hungry in vulnerable countries. After earning record high milk prices in 2022, dairy farmers have seen their earnings plummeted in recent months, with more operations struggling to stay in business and some closing their doors for good. Their plight has prompted comparisons to the 2009 economic crisis that forced droves of dairies into bankruptcy. Some say it may be worse this time around due to additional inflationary pressures and higher interest rates that make it more costly for businesses to borrow money. Dairy farmers' costs for feed, labor, fuel, and fertilizer have all skyrocketed. Wildfire activity out in the west is starting to pick up weeks later than the traditional start to the region's wildfire season. USA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
So far this year, only one quarter of typical U.S. acreage has burned in wildfire. Put another way, in 2023, almost 875,000 acres have burned to date versus the 10-year average at this time of under 3.5 million.
Because we had such an abundant, bounteous wet season across the West, it has taken a few extra weeks for things to start drying out, especially in the higher elevations.
But USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says with multi-week extreme heat in the southwest quadrant of the country and that high pressure now covering much of the West.
Across the Southwest, we have seen a small explosion of wildfires, notably uptick in the Southwest in certainly the last week or two.
Likewise, wildfire activity has also begun in parts of the interior Pacific Northwest.
So even though things are getting off to a little bit later than normal start, we still do expect to see an active wildfire season for the late summer period across much of the western United States.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Trucking costs have hit an all-time high in 2022, according to survey calculations released last month by the American Transportation Research Institute, which showed total marginal costs of trucking at $2.25 per mile. That's up 21% over the previous year's marginal costs of $1.86 per mile. These costs were highest in the Southeast at $2.30 per mile and lowest in the West at $2.16, but elevated everywhere by high fuel costs, which made up 28% of the total calculation, and driver wages, which made up 32%. Of the total calculation. Diesel fuel prices have come down roughly $2 a gallon since hitting their 2022 peak about a year ago, but anyone who has fueled up equipment lately will confirm that they're still pretty stiff. USDA's weekly series of transport cost indicators show diesel at $3.81 a gallon, or 255% of the baseline value they indexed starting in the year 2000. These high diesel trucking costs have been stickier than the high prices of other grain shipping categories. The clearest explanation seems to be the poor export scenario for U.S. grains this summer. Cumulative U.S. exports of all wheat, corn, and soybeans is only 81% of last year's progress at this point in the marketing year. The Bear Group has adjusted its full-year outlook for 2023 downward this week, mainly due to a significant further decline in sales of glyphosate-based products. Bear now anticipates sales around $54 billion in U.S. funds.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS marketing team, thank you for listening.